Hi there, I'm Janet Quinlan, and this is Finding Joy in Motherhood, the podcast for women who are looking for practical tools and words of encouragement to create an orderly, joyful, faith, and virtue-driven home. I'll share tips to create mindset shifts that change the way you discipline your children, love your husband, and enjoy your day. This podcast is about coaching women to be the best woman God is calling her to be. I'm so glad you're here. Okay, first, before I begin the episode, I want to let you all know that enrollment is open for my parenting course, Virtue-Based Parenting. I open it and then I close it. The reason why I do enrollment that way is because I take everyone who signs up within a specific time. So enrollment starts today, March 28th, and it will close April 4th. I take that group of people and we go through the course. So not only do you get access to the four modules within the course, you also get access to four group calls with me where I answer questions about, you know, a particular issue you're dealing with your family or with your children, with a particular child. I answer questions about the course. If you have questions about something that you heard in the course that you're not sure about. And so I take the group and we work through the course together. So again, enrollment is open now and it will close April 4th. So come on in and join us in Virtue-Based Parenting. Here are just a few things you're going to learn. You're going to learn why the parenting style you have now is probably not working. You're going to learn how to be proactive instead of reactive, which causes you to yell and makes you crazy and really hate being a mom. You're going to learn about how to communicate well and consistently and how to get on the same page as your spouse, which is absolutely vital to raising children. You're also going to learn about the five basic virtues that children need to live happily as a child, but then to grow up to be adults who are responsible, independent, and happy. And they are honesty and respect and orderliness and obedience and being self-disciplined. So in learning those virtues, in teaching those virtues, we get away from the constant giving our children consequences, the constant punishing of our children. And we're actually called to be the parents that we're supposed to be, which is our child's first teachers. When we teach, we let go of all the emotion that comes with punishing. And we focus on teaching virtues, which is actually what changes behavior. So come and join us, janetquinlan.com/parenting course, janetquinlan.com/parenting course. Okay, let's get to the episode. So if you're listening to this episode real time, it's Holy Thursday, and it's a perfect opportunity to think about hope and joy, and I'll explain that in a minute. But I think also in the life of, well, everyone, but particularly because I speak to women, in the life of a mother, a wife, I think it's really important to understand how hope and joy plays out in our life and where it comes from. So many times I get the question, so I see the name of your podcast is Finding Joy in Marriage and Motherhood. How do I do that? Where's the joy? And I want to tell you where the joy is. And hopefully at the end of this episode, you'll be able to find it. Have you ever met someone and you just think, wow, what is it about her that makes it so attractive? She seems so happy. She seems so at peace. What is it that makes her seem different than other people? Well, that, my friends, is Christian hope and interior joy. And when we meet someone who has that Christian hope and interior joy, we notice it because I think especially in our current times, we are bombarded with assaults on our morals, our values, our faith life. There's lots of negativity in the world. Of course, we've got politics always screaming in our ears. And with the election in the United States coming up in the fall, that's going to get worse. So, can you see why we need hope and joy in the world? I read a book recently. Actually, I've read it twice now. It's called From Christendom to Apostolic Mission. And in it, the author talks about how we no longer live in a Christian society. Michael and I are in the process of re-watching a TV series called Fringe. And I don't know, I think it came out about 15 years ago. And we are shocked at how many references there are to God and to God's will. And as if, you know, that's what you talk about in a TV series. And back in the day, it used to be what we would talk about in all aspects of our life. God was front and center. But our culture is no longer that way. We no longer, as I said, live in that Christian society. Our culture is very similar now to that of the first Christians. And this is what that book is all about. It's about teaching us now that we are like the first Christians. The first Christians were alive with their faith, and they took great risks at great cost to their lives, to their way of living, that I don't think we take anymore. We tend, I think, towards lethargy. For those of us who practice our Christian religion, we are used to going to church. For those of us who are Catholic, we're used to the Mass. We're used to the real presence. We've become accustomed to it. We're used to the offer of certain forgiveness in the sacrament of confession. It's like we take it for granted. We've heard the words and the miracles of Jesus that it's almost like, oh, yes, and so? I've heard that already. When we become used to the means, the opportunities we have to nurture our faith and hope, we begin to be lukewarm. And when we're lukewarm, we forget about the awesomeness. We forget that God sees us, is with us, and will take care of us, even in the dark times of our lives, and I would say especially in the dark times of our lives, if we look for Him. And so our job is to be like the first Christians. And the first thing that we need to do to have hope and joy in our lives is to have faith. Hope is a supernatural virtue. Our hope lies in the strength and love of God. I have to have faith in the strength and love of God, not in my strength and the way I love people, but in God's strength and His love for me. I am a daughter of God. I think we say that sometimes and we just kind of roll it off our tongue. Yeah, I'm a daughter of God. So to have the faith that there is a God, that He created us, that really He created me to make it personal, that He created me and He loves me more than my own mother loves me. He loves me more than I can even imagine. And that all He wants is good for me, even sometimes when the good looks a little different than I expect. He wants good for me and He knows best for me. So when we have that faith, and we have to nurture the faith, we nurture that by going on retreats, by doing spiritual reading, by certainly reading the New Testament, by reading the Old Testament and how it relates to us now. We have to learn and understand our faith so that we know it. When we know our faith, we can move into hope. But our hope always has to begin with the knowledge that our Father God will always take care of us. Saint Jose Maria always talks about God as his father, as his daddy. Abba Pater, what trust, what relief, and what optimism it will give you in the midst of difficulties to feel that you are children of a father who knows everything and who does everything. We have to know in him whom we have faith and hope. So aside from the retreats and the classes and the learning and the spiritual reading of books, good spiritual reading books, and the Bible, particularly in the life of Jesus in the New Testament, we have to pray. We have to spend time with God. You know, we didn't just fall in love with our husband. We spent time with him. And the more we spent time with him, the more we got to know him, the more we trusted him, the more we loved him. So faith is the beginning. And from faith comes hope. Hope is a habit that we nurture. We live in a culture that is often devoid of hope because it has removed God from its midst. When we try to hope in ourselves, we know that's faulty. We know that we can never have the things that we need to have in order to make ourselves truly happy. We let ourselves down frequently, so we don't have a lot of hope in ourselves. That's why God is the reason for our hope. He is faithful to his promises, even if the reality doesn't appear to confirm that. I love Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Repeating that many times has helped me calm myself down when I was upset about something, you know, either relationships in my life or circumstances of my life. I would go to that phrase, be still and know that I am God and he will take care of me. If we live our lives only depending on ourselves, we'll fail. We will lose hope and be completely without joy. You can see it everywhere around you. Anxiety, overwhelm, sadness, fear of missing out, envy. It all comes from a lack of hope that God has things under control. And I have to say, I know I've said it before, but it really is remarkable how those words, anxiety and being overwhelmed, have become part, just real part of our lexicon. It's what everybody says. But when I was raising children, and I think when we were more of a Christian society, we never heard those words. We just depended on God and we just did what we needed to do because we believed God would take care of it all. My husband says God will provide all the time. When we have an issue in the family or when one of our children has an issue, he'll say God will provide just that way. And sometimes it's kind of annoying because sometimes I want to just worry, but I know I shouldn't because God has always provided for us, our 7 children and their children. It doesn't mean he'll provide as we wanted. Many times, God has not answered my prayers in the way I wanted. But as I can look back over the years, I can see very clearly how and why he answered those prayers that way. You know, there's a saying, God always answers your prayers, but sometimes not the way you want to hear it or see it. I never wanted Michael to get stage 3 colon cancer, which he did 19 years ago. The doctors told us that he had about 2 years left. I had 7 children. My youngest was 5 at the time. That was not an answer to any prayers I had, nor was the financial problems that came with it, because Michael had his own firm, and if he didn't work, we didn't make money. But now, 19 years later, I can see how good those things were to our marriage and to our family life and to each of us individually in our own development of virtues. We all have struggled with situations in our relationships or our family life that we probably wouldn't have chosen. But it's precisely in those situations where we increase our faith and hope and begin to live with joy. Joy in the knowledge that, in fact, God will provide. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. take up your cross and follow me. It may not be the cross that you decided you want, but it's the one that will take you closer to him. So with faith, we learn hope, because when we have faith in God, he will always provide for us. As long as we don't try to control it our way, but we see that he actually does fill all of our needs. And that brings us hope. Because then when we're confronted with a new situation, a new cross, we will go back to that hope because we know that it works. Because hope rested on faith will bring joy. So what is joy? Well, you know, I love to look up definitions. And when I looked up what is joy, the typical definition is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. I think that's so limited. So I kept looking because that's not how I feel joy all the time. Sometimes in the middle of issues or conflicts, I can still feel joy. It's like that person, as I mentioned at the very beginning of this, that person who may be dying or have a relative dying or a child who has, you know, many difficulties that they struggle with. And yet there's joy in this person. Why? How does that happen? Joy doesn't come from always getting our way, from always having a happy life where everything is neat and, you know, pinned up and perfectly exactly as it should be. Joy comes from choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction. And that brings the feeling of great pleasure and happiness. So when Michael was dealing with cancer and people were like, you guys don't seem to really understand, he has stage 3 cancer, because we had practiced throughout our years before that living joy. And so even in the midst of, I could lose my husband, my children could lose their father, we all, and my husband, I could lose my life, we all lived with joy because we knew that God would take care of us. And that came from our deep faith. So how do we find joy in marriage and motherhood? We find it by looking for it, by seeing the ways in which God has cared for us and having faith and hope that he will continue to care for us. It's letting go of our way and really embracing God's way. It's stopping all of our criticisms and our ways of trying to change everybody around us to make us happy, and just seeing the beauty in the people around us, the people that God has put there to give us joy. When we, each of us women, when we start finding joy and living with hope and joy in our little family, with our children, our husband, our friends, it's really astounding as to how it can spread throughout the world. That's what the first Christians did. There were not many of them. How is it that we can have the love of Christ throughout the world? From really just a handful of people when you compare the world population. You know, if you've ever seen one of those movies, I think there was a movie back in the day called Contagion, and it was about a virus that I think if you got it on your hands and you touched something and then somebody touched something and it just spread, it was really remarkable. Like there was one red dot on the world, particularly in the United States, it was a U.S. film. And then you watch the red dot spread. Okay, this is the contagion spreading across the country, then spreading across other countries, and finally overtaking the world. I mean, it's not a movie I would want to watch again because, gosh, it just makes you a little nervous about things. But anyway, let's flip that script. Let's be the people, the women, who we are a contagion for hope and joy, where we can touch people with our hope and joy. and watch it spread. We don't need to go do great things. We just need to create this family that is filled with faith and hope and joy. It's up to us. Wherever we are, we share that message in our family, with our children, with our grandchildren, in our work, with our friends. We have a card group, and when we get together, I just kind of make it my mission to just come with peace and hope and joy. I don't always do that. Sometimes we kind of talk about issues, but more often than not, we just laugh and laugh. And I think that's how we begin to spread it among friends and family. We share it by living it. We don't need to lecture anyone, okay? You don't need to get out on a street corner and tell everyone how they're living their life incorrectly. Now, sometimes that's important to do, but people are attracted more to someone who lives with hope and joy. They will see by the way we live our life. They'll see that nothing overwhelms us or gets us down, that we have interior peace of hope and joy. So in The Way, St. José María Escrivá says this. It's number 831 if you want to look it up. Among those around you, apostolic soul, you are the stone fallen into the lake. With your word and example, produce a first ripple, and it will produce another and then another and another, each time wider. Now do you understand the greatness of your mission? That's who we are. That's what we can bring into the world, and that's what will really change the world. And as always, especially today, which is Holy Thursday, we look at the model of hope and joy, which is Our Lady. There she is, standing at the foot of the cross. Now, that wasn't the first time she had to exhibit hope and joy. Her whole life with Jesus was about hope and joy. Let's go back. In Bethlehem, there's no place for her to have a baby. She must have had to have hope and joy. Not to even mention the many days journey to Bethlehem on the back of a camel when she's 9 months pregnant. I don't know if I could do that. I know for sure I couldn't have done that. Okay, then they have the baby. And the angels came and they really realized, oh my goodness, this is something. I'm sure that filled them with lots of faith and hope and joy. And then they go to the presentation and there's Simeon, who does what he's supposed to do, but goodness gracious, he lets her know, a sword shall pierce your heart. She lives with that until Jesus leaves for his mission. So, can I exhibit that faith, that hope, that joy? Could I stand there at the foot of the cross bravely and boldly with faith and hope? It doesn't mean that we ignore our sadness. We can still be sad, but faith and hope is deeper than even those emotions. It is a quiet and deep faith in God's will and his promises, which teach us how to handle the relatively insignificant problems of our life. We ask Jesus, when we encounter suffering and fear, help us to embrace your will with faith and hope. And embracing our lives with faith and hope is what will bring you joy. Take care. Do you have a life coach who helps you be the woman you want to be, the woman God has called you to be? Who helps you sort through your marriage or parenting difficulties and helps you create the mindset you need to embrace your vocation with joy and gratitude? If you're looking for a coach, I would be so honored to help you. Email me at Janet@findingjoyinmotherhood.com.